Let us turn then in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 15 through the end of the chapter, looking specifically at verses 19 through 23 as our text this evening. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 15 and reading through the end of the chapter. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the fullness, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this evening. As we look at this passage of God's word, and specifically our text this evening, I do want to note that we're going to look at what it says concerning Christ. Notice that the context that as we read it, it's pointing to that power which is working in you and I, which is that which raised Christ from the dead, and that which seated him at God's right hand in the heavenly places. And so our focus is going to be a little off of what the Bible is directly pointing at here. But we need to understand how awesome, how wondrous it is that Christ has ascended on high. That he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And during his being seated there, his session, we call that, Christ rules and protects his church. He governs the universe on its behalf and intercedes for his people on the basis of his completed sacrifice. Notice the end of verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Notice that as Christ rules, he rules this universe for the purpose of the spreading of the church, for the good of us as his church. And as we look around us, we've perhaps heard me say too many times already, we say, wow, this thing's gone off the tracks. But no, it most certainly has not. God is working all of these things together for his glory and for our good. And we need to understand, as we saw Sunday, that when God is working, it's not always easy for us to draw a straight line and say, well, I see what you did there, God. In fact, that's usually quite difficult. Once in a while, we might see a small part of that. But we need to understand that Christ's resurrection and his session demonstrate his victory, which was for his church. That this is done for us as his people. And so in verses 19 through 20, we see the working of God's mighty power in Christ's resurrection and session. In verse 21, we see that Christ's session is above all principality, might, dominion, and name. And in verses 22 and 23, we see all things put under Christ's feet for the church, as we've just been noticing. Christ's resurrection and session demonstrate his victory, which was for his church. First of all, the working of God's mighty power in Christ's resurrection and session. God's exceeding power. This power is shown to each one of us as believers. We read that in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. That is what is working in us. Too much as Christians, we say, well, God, just kind of, you know, that's a certain perspective that's out there that I'm sorry is false. That says, well, God wouldn't actually change my mind and cause things within me. God's mighty power of His Holy Spirit is working within us as Christians. You think that doesn't change us? Most definitely it does. And by the way, the wondrous miracle that works within us as Christians is, first of all, that any one of us believes. People say to us as Reformed people, well, you don't believe in missions, because if God's going to change the heart, then God's going to change the heart and we don't have to do anything. Quite the opposite. As Christians who understand the sovereignty of God, we can do missions. Because if we don't understand the sovereignty of God, if we understand what man is according to his sinful nature, totally depraved, without the promise that there will be those who believe, we can go out and do all the missions we want to. We're not going to change a heart. That requires the work of God by His Holy Spirit. And so that exceeding great power is working within not only Christ to raise Him from the dead and to seat Him on the right hand of God, that power is working within us. Philippians 3:21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And part of that subduing all things to Himself is subduing this miserable sinner to Himself. Because God has to work in us. That Holy Spirit, that sanctification, God slowly conforming us to His will. But we as Christians need to be very careful that we are not resisting the grace of God in that manner. And that is the power which worked in Christ in His resurrection and His being seated at the Father's right hand. The power raising Him from the dead. This is an expression of God's great power. Jesus didn't just fall on a spring and He bounced right out of the grave with no effort. It required the mighty power of God to raise Him. Acts 2:24, whom He raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. Sometimes we have this idea that means it was easy. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the power of God is that which works resurrection from the spiritually dead, as well as from the physically dead. And remember, going back right to the Garden of Eden, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. But was man a living being at that point? Not yet, was he? He breathed the breath of life into us. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that God making a living human being is an awesome, is a wondrous thing. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. That Christ suffered once for sins. He was just, we unjust, and He suffered in our place. And He thereby brings us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit. And He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He has been seated in heavenly places because of that which He suffered. Because though it was not for Him robbery to be equal with God, yet He humbled Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant. He is now, 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into the heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. Notice that, again. It's a perspective that we sometimes get backwards. When were angels and authorities and powers made subject to Christ? We say at the end of the world, right? No. When He ascended on high, when He was seated at the right hand, He has authority. Remember what Jesus says in the Great Commission. The preamble. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We realize that the Hallelujah chorus in Handel's Messiah is in the right place. Where is it in the Messiah? Handel, by the way, was a Reformed Christian. He knew his stuff. It's in the middle. Hallelujah. Again, the authority, the power has been given to Christ. He rules. He reigns. We do not need to fear man. We do not need to fear that Christ is going to lose control of this somehow or perhaps already has. He is in control and He is working all of these things as we saw Sunday. Even those things that are beyond our comprehension. He is working them all together for our good and for His glory. And He is placed above all things, both now and future. Hebrews 1 verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That all things are put under His feet for the church, as we read verse 22 and 23. He has a better name than the angels. He has inherited a better name. He is the head. I think I skipped a little bit. I'm sorry, we'll come back a little bit here. Christ is seated above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name. All things were created for Him. Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. Again, we're reminded that this universe was not created to go off the tracks. It is within Christ's power. It was created through Him and it is created for Him. He who sits, we read Psalm 2, in the heavens shall laugh when the kings of this earth hold Him in derision, when they try to rebel against Him. It says God dashes them in pieces like a potter with a rod, like a potter's vessel. What happens when you take an iron rod to a piece of clay? It doesn't work out very well for the clay, does it? And brothers and sisters, all of the nations of this earth are accounted, God says, as the dust on the balances. And so what is man that you're mindful of him? And yet God takes care of us because, as we've been seeing, He chose to do so by His grace, by His undeserved favor. Nothing separates us from His love. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We see that all the way back in the first chapter of Job, when Satan, we realize, is so under the throne of God, or under the thumb of God, I should say, that he can't do anything without God's okay. And we need to understand that none of this stuff comes by chance. It comes by God's fatherly hand. Christ is seated above all these things. They're not going to get out of his control. God uses them to demonstrate what he tells us in Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 9. That God in his mercy is saving some to show his mercy and his long suffering. And yet at that same time, he's showing his justice and his power on the vessels prepared beforehand for destruction. And Christ's place is above all things now and future. And we read that from Hebrews 1 verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He rules over all things. He is seated above all principality, all power, all dominion. and every name which shall be named. And as we said, all things are put under his feet for the church. He is head over all things to the church. All things are under Christ's feet, being walked on. Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. 1 Corinthians 15:27, for he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Of course, God the Father is still God the Father. But Christ has all things under his feet. And as we said, for the purpose of the church. During his seating at God's right hand, Christ rules and protects his church. He governs the universe on its behalf. He intercedes for his people on the basis of his completed sacrifice. He is head over all things for us. And so often, as we live in this world and we are afraid of our shadows, and I'm not just pointing outward there, so easy it is for each one of us to be afraid of anything that happens in this world. We don't need to be. We need to be bold as Christians. I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar. I don't care what you come up with. I'm not careful to answer you. God will take care of us. Whether that means for them to die and not have to deal with Nebuchadnezzar, or whether that means for God to protect them within the fiery furnace, which is what God did. Too often we as Christians hold on to our lives instead of holding on to Christ with all that we are. And Christ is that which is most important. His glory, his honor, not mine. And Christ is the fullness of Almighty God. We read that in verse 23, and I want to read that and remind us of what that says there, because we go past it too quickly. Reading just a little bit, to be head over all things to the church, that's verse 22, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is Christ's body. We are united to Christ, and he is united to us. And notice that Christ considers himself somewhat imperfect without that body, without us. What a high honor, and yet what a wonder that he wants you and I a part of him for his service, for his glory. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And so Christ is the fullness of him who fills all in all, the fullness of Almighty God. We read in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is not a part of God. We talk about that. There are people who want to attack the Trinity. Christ is not just one part of God. No, he is the fullness of the Godhead. And these things are beyond our comprehension, but we have to understand that this is what God reveals himself to us as. And so we don't say, well, my mind doesn't get around that, therefore God can't be that way. Instead, we say, my mind is faulty, I can't get it, but this is what God says. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, filling all in all. Jeremiah 23:24, can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Now, if you think about different ideas of God, there's the idea of pantheism, everything is God. That's not what's being said here. And we have panentheism, God is in everything. That's not what's being said here.
God is everywhere present by His Spirit. That's what's being said here. And that God is by His Holy Spirit there, so that we cannot be away from Him. Though I make my bed in hell, the psalmist says, there you are. Though I go east and west, God, I am not far from you. And so God fills all in all. And brothers and sisters, we rejoice in the Savior who fills all in all, who by His Holy Spirit is never far from us. We understand that He has sent His Spirit, and we'll be celebrating that in a few days. But we celebrate that Christ is at no time absent from us, that He has been seated at the right hand of the Father, and that we, by His grace, have access directly to the Father. And brothers and sisters, our Savior has been given that name which is above every name, that at His name every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth. And all principalities, all powers are subject to Him already because of who He is and because of what He has done. Amen. Let us bow then before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Our gracious, our merciful Heavenly Father, our Savior, Holy Spirit, we bow before You, the Triune God, and we praise our Savior for what He has done and for where He is now, that He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, at that place of power, and that He has received the name which is above every name, that all authority and in might and strength is His. And we pray, O Lord, that we might not live as those who are under duress within this world, who are afraid of our shadows, but that we would live boldly as those who have the wondrous gift of eternal life. And that our time of 60, 70, 80, 100, 120 years on this life is but a bare beginning to the eternity which You have given to us. We pray, O Lord, that You would give us grace to stand firmly upon Your Word, that we would not be blown this way or that, but that we would be founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving and in praise to our Savior, who has won victory. And we praise You, our Savior, that You now reign on high as prophet, priest, and king on our behalf. We praise You, we bow before You, praying as You have taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.